spoiler alert, Ted Miller joining us now, reporter for ESPN and the Pac-12 blog. Ted, how you doing, sir?
Like waiting on the other line. That loser with that dinky camera they make him use.
Yeah, but you're doing everything. Hey, frame that thing up. Yeah. Never did you think probably 15 years ago that you would be a multimedia journalist, did you?
No, man. I'll tell you what, I was actually just talking to someone about how the job has changed. And I need to start keeping a timer. How much time I spend paying attention to Twitter during the course of the day. And some of the 20-somethings are telling me now that Twitter is so yesterday, or I guess 5 minutes ago. So it's a fascinating change. The business just keeps moving forward, and that includes print guys putting their ugly mugs in front of a camera.
We were breaking it down. Bill obviously has asked his opinions for the Pac-12 media poll. I have not graduated to that level of prestige just yet, but he thinks that the Utes have a chance in the South. A lot of projections had them sitting at number 5 last year, and that's where they finished. Utah end up finishing higher this year?
You know, they are an interesting team. I think that my excuse in my Pac-12 media ballot for having them 4th, because I do think that they could certainly finish higher than that, is I just want to see kind of how things roll early in the season based on the off-season changes on the coaching staff, 2 new coordinators. And, you know, it's Travis Wilson. Is he on the cusp of finally taking that step forward, decisively taking that job and giving the Utes offense a pass game? Because if he can average 230 yards passing per game and be efficient, Utah's going to be tough to beat. They're going to have a good defense. They got a great running back in Devontae Booker. And they may be the best team on both lines in the Pac-12. UCLA and Utah would probably be my top 2 picks for having the best linemen on offense and defense. So there's certainly the race. But I think the theme in the South this year is really, honest to God, I mean, I'd pick Arizona 5th, and they won it last year. And I have some, you know, some regret on that, because it just doesn't seem right picking them 5th, because I think they're a top 25, top 15 team even. And I wouldn't be surprised if they won the division. I just think there's 5 legitimate contenders in that division, and they're going to be beating each other up all season long. And, you know, I picked UCLA to win the South and the Pac-12, breaking Oregon's stranglehold, just because I think that beyond quarterback, they got the best coming back in terms of 18 starters and maybe some hard learning experiences from last year, including a home loss to the Utes.
Yeah. But what's interesting about that is it appears that they're going to go with a true freshman at the most important position on the field. What do you like about Josh Rosen? Because clearly you must like him, Ted, if you're picking UCLA to win the league.
Now, I can't, you know, I was talking about this the other day. It's like people are like, are you sure he's going to beat out Jerry Neuheisel, who's, you know, a savvy guy who came off the bench to beat Texas last year and knows the offense. So I'm not an expert on recruiting. I didn't see him play in high school. So I can only tell you what I hear, which is he's a phenomenal talent. He's the type of guy who's got all those NFL measurables. He played in a very similar offense in high school in California. He was, you know, the number 1 quarterback by most recruiting services. And he came in spring and performed very well. Didn't seem like he was overwhelmed by the stage. But we aren't going to know really much about him. First of all, he's got to win the job. But number 1, I mean, he's got to go out with the lights on and win some games. And he's, by the way, he's going to probably be pretty early in the season. UCLA's got a tough schedule. He's going to have to probably put together a drive in the 4th quarter when the screws are tightening. So you don't know what a freshman's going to do. So I'm just basically saying, I think he's going to do enough under Noel Mazzone, their offensive coordinator, to distribute the ball to a great collection of skilled players. I like their offensive line. They had some struggles in pass protection last year, but they were very good against the run. I think they're going to grow up this year. They got everybody back, plus a couple more guys with starting experience, and 2 just great defensive linemen, and Eddie Vanderdoes and Kenny Clark, that are, you know, the best tandem defensive linemen in the Pac-12. So I believe that the experience they have coming back, combined with a very talented quarterback and a good coaching staff, is going to be enough for the Bruins to win the South. But again, I would be perfectly comfortable saying, oh man, they screwed up my pick and they've got Arizona or Utah winning the South on my ballot. Because, I mean, I think 5 teams have legitimate chances to do it. And I think there's 5 teams that are top 25 teams in that division.
if we ask any of the coaches at Pac-12 Media Day this, their answer is going to be, well, it's the first game of the season. It's Michigan. It's whoever. But what is the biggest game on this year's Pac-12 football schedule?
Well, I mean, it's a cop-out, but the Pac-12 title game, I think the winner is going to be in the college football playoff.
Sure.
So that's a pretty huge deal. That's the thing you learned about last year. It's really impossible to say that. I mean, what happens if Washington State doesn't somehow beat Utah? I mean, you talk about bizarre results last year. That was one of the weirdest ones. They beat Utah. How did that happen? You know, Arizona State was poised, you know, is rolling. Top 10, actually in the conversation for the college football playoff, and they go to Oregon State, which was just struggling all last season, and they lose. So, I mean, it really is one of these things. The margin for error, it's not like it used to be, where there's two top 10 teams, and then it's everybody else just kind of hanging around winning 7 or 8 games. Now you've got all these teams vying to win 9, 10, 11, even 12 games. And every game is important. I mean, and that sounds like a cop-out, but, I mean, well, the biggest game would be UCLA and Utah or UCLA and Arizona State or, you know, a cross-division game between USC and Oregon. I mean, I think that's going to be the game that gains the most national eyeballs, USC, Oregon. But, you know, I just think that what's happened in the Pac-12 with the depth that's developed in the past couple of years is that there's going to be a lot of great games where both teams are ranked. So it's pretty hard to say right now. Now, of course, as the screws tighten late in the season, some of those games are going to become more important because we're going to know exactly what's going on. This game is for first place in the division, and that's when things really get important.
Hey, Ted, who was the hardest team for you to figure when you were filling out your ballot? For me, you answered, and I'll tell you who it was for me.
Probably, I have this worry, like, I don't like putting Arizona fifth in the South.
Okay.
Because I think Rich Rodriguez is such a great coach that I think I just have a feeling that I may be wrong about that. But I would think for a lot of folks at Stanford, because Stanford's got a lot of guys coming back on offense. They played great the final three games of the season. Kevin Hogan, who was dealing with some serious, serious issues personally last year. I mean, his dad was very sick and then passed during the season. And I just, you know, for a kid who's in college, it's just got to be it's devastating for anyone. But he was dealing with that, but he really broke through at the end. And I think that's who he is. I think that Kevin Hogan is going to have a very good season with a pretty good returning cast on offense. The question for them is Stanford's been all about defense the past few years. Well, they only got three starters back. So what about all these guys who we don't know about? How good are they going to be? So I think it's very possible that Stanford could be, you know, that seventh team in the Pac-12 that's a top 25 team. I think I'm not alone in this, by the way. I know a lot of people think that Stanford's getting underrated right now. So, but that's the team that's hard to figure just because of the questions they have on defense, which has been their thing the past couple of years.
I couldn't figure out Washington and where I should put them. To me, with Chris Peterson coaching them, and it seemed like Sark had pretty good talent up there, I just feel, and I know they've got quarterback questions, I just feel like they should be better, but I ended up putting them fourth in the Pac-12 North. I had Cal ahead of them at third. I like Stanford a lot.
No, I don't. Yeah, I agree. I mean, they just don't have a lot coming back. I mean, they didn't play well on offense at all last year. And the quarterback, Siler Miles, who was their best option probably, isn't back. And, you know, at spring it was pretty obvious that they don't have a world beater. I mean, they've got a couple of younger guys who might be good. The Browning kid is promising, but he's a true freshman too. And they lost, you know, they lost one of the best collections of talent a Pac-12 defense has had in a while. They underachieved in Peterson's first year. They should have been better. They should have won more games. You know, they just completely choked against Arizona and a couple of other games where they were, you know, questionable. I mean, they finally got their stuff together late in the season, and then they just choked against a really mediocre Oklahoma State team in the bowl game. It's like they just kind of didn't even show up until the second half. So I think that my feeling with Washington is it's going to be a struggle. If they go 6-6, it probably will represent about what their fans should expect. I don't think they're going to really feel the impact of Chris Peterson until he gets his guys in there and he gets himself settled. And I also think that, you know, with Utah, you talked about the transition from the Mountain West. I think that it happens to coaches. I mean, Chris Peterson has never been a first-time head coach anywhere other than Boise State. And when he was at Boise State, he was promoted from coordinator. So he knew the program. He knew his talent. He knew what Boise was all about. You know, he knew how to drive to work every morning, the best route. When he went to Washington, he's all of a sudden in the Pac-12. You know, all those years of acting like Boise State was playing the same type of schedule in their conferences and stuff like that. You know, suddenly you realize the reality of it, which is, oh, we just played UCLA. Good. Now we can take a break and play, you know, USC or Arizona State. I mean, it's just harder. And I think there was an adjustment there with him and probably an adjustment with dealing with players who had a little bit more star rating besides their names when they were recruited. So, you know, I think there was an adjustment, and I think that he's got a talent deficiency this year. So I don't think you're going to see a lot out of the Huskies until maybe he gets some of his players in, and that might be year three or even year four.
On the ESPN Pac-12 coaches car wash, both Jim Mora and Steve Sarkisian said the team that they don't look forward to preparing to this year, the team that they're, you know, scared of, whatever, is Utah. And obviously Utah had success against both squads last year. They didn't match up so well against Arizona. Is it a personnel matchup thing that allows Utah to have more of a competitive streak or an advantage against the California schools? Is it schemes that make Arizona so tough for them? Can you even identify the reasons why Utah hasn't been able to get over the Arizona State or Wildcat hump?
I don't know. Well, you know, they've had some interesting matchups with ASU, some kind of messy, sloppy, low-scoring games that maybe surprised some folks. That is an interesting. I do know that I've heard throughout the league and from actual players that, I mean, Utah gets after people. I mean, that's a physical football team. They're like Stanford. I mean, you wake up Sunday morning, you may have beaten them, but they'll hit you. They got some big bodies on both lines, and they run around and they play aggressive, and that's their thing. I mean, it's kind of Kyle. Teams take on their coach's personality. And Kyle Whittingham's kind of a guy that like, looks like he probably win a pit fight if you had to put all the Pac-12 coaches in a battle royal. I don't know why they didn't do well. That Arizona game last year was weird. I mean, it was kind of close. And, you know, Anu Solomon got hurt for Arizona, and you started wondering, oh, man, this is a great opportunity for Utah. And then Utah just couldn't stop Nick Wilson. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. You know, it's a lot of it was it's possible that Rich Rodriguez saw something and just exploited it to death. And there were some breakdowns. I mean, there may have been some injuries on the defensive side for Utah that maybe had exposed them a little bit. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, Arizona is not in the top three or four in terms of physicality at the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. So they're a very different team than Utah. So I would imagine some of the Utah guys want to get in the trenches and go nose to nose, which USC and UCLA do a little bit more. Arizona is more of a spread you out, you know, kind of outflank you, outsmart you type of team, and that may be more difficult for them to adjust to. I mean, that's pure speculation on my part, though.
Ted, if you get a free moment, stop by the cabana and say hello. Bring your camera along if you have to, and we'll look forward to seeing you down there tomorrow.
Awesome, guys. Well, I'm sure I'll see you at some point.
Thank you, Ted.